So we're talking about toxic relationships today. Actually, I know we've talked a little bit about Motley Church already, but I told them they could pick the topic. And I'm excited to have them here. If you don't know, maybe you're going, what in the world is Motley Church? It's just another extension of this church that instead of meeting Sunday mornings here in this building, we meet Tuesday evenings, usually at a restaurant, sometimes at somebody's house. And it just has a little bit of a different format. We're a little... We don't have as many formalities with ours. We just get together and we talk about the Bible and how to improve life, and it's a blast. We have a good time. And we've not been thrown out of any restaurants yet, but we've come close a couple times. So, but they're a good group. So there's this whole thing, toxic relationships, reminded me of an old Alfred Hitchcock episode I saw. It was first aired in 1955, and no, I wasn't around in 1955, but I saw it in reruns. It was the first season that Alfred Hitchcock was on TV. And it was episode 6, and it was called Salvaged. And for some reason, it stuck with me all these years because it talks about flawed character and flawed relationships in such an amazing way. What happens is there's a nightclub singer, and she accidentally causes the death of another man. Well, the man has a brother who's in prison. And when he hears about this, he vows to himself that he's going to kill that nightclub singer when he gets out of prison to avenge his brother's death. So eventually he does get out of prison, and he does his research, and he finds this nightclub singer, and he shows up at her apartment one night, ready to kill her. And he walks in, and he pulls out the gun, and he says, I'm going to avenge my brother's death. I'm going to kill you. And she looks at him, and she says, you know what? Go ahead. I got no money. Things are not going well. I'm about to be evicted from my apartment, and my fiancé just left me. So kill me. I don't care. Well, the guy thinks for a second, and he's really moved by this, and he lowers his gun, and he starts talking with her, and they have a conversation, and a relationship starts, and he actually proposes a business deal to her, and he gives her the money to start her own hair salon, which she's wanted to do her entire life. So they work for months preparing that, and they finally get the hair salon started. It's a huge success, and during that time, the guy even finds the woman's fiancé, and he gets them to reconcile and get back together, and they get engaged again, and they're ready to get married. So everything's going wonderful, and he shows up at the salon one day, and it's packed with people, and he takes her in the back room, and he said, are you happy now? And she said, I am. And he said, are you really happy? And she said, yeah, I am. And he pulls out a gun, and he shoots her. Yeah, great episode. Now, I just spoiled it for you, so, you know, you don't have to watch it. But the deal was, all through this, this man was manipulating this woman. He wanted satisfaction, and he wasn't going to be happy killing her when she didn't feel like living. He wanted to make sure that she felt pain. Now, I know that's an over-the-top illustration, but let me tell you, I've worked with enough people in relationship issues that I've seen the same kind of things come out. And that's what Hitchcock was really good at, and that's why he became so popular, because he got into the human psyche. Now, he used these over-the-top illustrations and, of course, made a lot of money doing it, but at its essence, he knew about some of the deprivations of the human mind and how it affected relationships around them. And that's what we're going to discuss a little bit about today. We're going to talk about what some of those basic flaws are and how to work on fixing them or at least avoiding them. Because we all have different kinds of relationships. And wherever you are in life right now, whether you're married, you're single, you still have relationships. You've got family relationships. You've got friend relationships. You have spouse relationships, too. So these rules can apply to any of those situations. So don't think this doesn't apply to you. Let me tell you, if you know anybody and you have any type of relationship, this could impact you. Now, interestingly enough, Muhammad Ali said this, friendship is the hardest thing in the world to explain. It's not something you learn in school, but if you haven't learned the meaning of friendship, you really haven't learned anything. You know, he's on to something there, because really life is about our relationships and our friendships. Martin Harnish, my good friend, always says that when we talk about our Christianity, it's all about the relationships, our relationship with God and our relationship with others around us. That's what it comes down to. And the Bible talked a lot about relationships and friendships. One very special one was Abraham when he spoke with God. It's interesting. Listen to this verse. It says this. He was called the friend of God. This is in James 2:23. And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. That was a special relationship that Moses had and Abraham had with God. They spoke to God like just friends would talk with one another in a room. It was an amazing relationship. And that's what we're looking for in our relationship with God and our friendships with others. Now, I must say, you've got to choose your relationships carefully. I would, prior to being at New Danville, of course, most of you know, I was a youth pastor for the whole decade prior to that. And many times during then, I met with families that had teenagers that were troubled and had been in trouble. Some of them were in trouble with the law. I mean, some tough stuff. And I got to say, 9 times out of 10, when a teenager was in trouble, it was because of the crowd of people they were hanging out with. It wasn't necessarily their own choices, though that was part of it, but it was their choices based on what their friends were doing that got them into trouble. Your relationship to other people can really impact the choices you make in your own life. That's why the Bible says things like this, 1 Corinthians 15, bad company corrupts good character. Proverbs says, whoever walks with the wise will become wise. Whoever walks with fools will suffer with them. And Proverbs 14, stay away from fools, you won't find any knowledge there. So the Bible is very specific that the types of friends you have will affect the life that you have and the decisions that you make. So make sure you're choosing your friends and your relationships carefully. So even more so, you know, you got to be careful with who you choose as a friend. Choose very carefully who is going to be your future spouse, because they will affect your life. And I had a number of people I spoke to over my years as a pastor who started to, they were Christians, and very good Christians, and they would start to date somebody that was not a Christian. And I would say, you know, do you think that's a wise choice? The Bible talks about not doing that. And they said, no. I'm going to change them, and they're going to become Christian. Well, you know what? Almost every time, that good Christian person I knew, I almost never saw again. Because they went off with this person, got affected in negative ways, stopped coming to church, and I didn't see them anymore. Almost every time. So be very careful who you decide to connect with. They will impact your life. So what should it look like? What does a good relationship look like? What does that love look like? I'm going to use a verse that you've probably heard many, many times before, and I use it in every wedding I do. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8. You'll know this when you hear me say it. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. And when I say this in weddings, I'll usually put the bride and groom's name in there. Instead of the word love, I'll say, like if I'm marrying somebody that's named Dave, I'll say, Dave is patient and kind. Clarissa is not jealous or boastful or proud. So listen and apply this to yourself and think, do you show these qualities? I'll start again. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. It never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. That's what true love is all about. Now, none of us have it perfected. Now, if you look for somebody that does this 100%, you're not going to find them because we're all flawed human beings. But you want to look for somebody that's striving for these hallmarks, that you can see these things in them. That's the type of person that you want to be around, both as a friend, as a partner, as a spouse. That's what you're looking for. That's what you should be doing as well. So we're going to break that down and look at some things that come out of toxic relationships, the antithesis maybe of this verse. So it starts out, love is patient and kind, it's not irritable. Toxic relationships, I've found out, are ones where one of the partners is focused on the negative. Have you ever been around somebody that just, there's always something to complain about? They're complaining about a past relationship. They're complaining about where they are in life right now. They're complaining about their job. Everything has a negative connotation to it. People like that, you want to be very careful around because that negativity can wear on you over time. At first, you might even think it's cute. Oh, that's kind of cute. It's not cute after a couple months, let me tell you. Watch out for negative people. And I'm very concerned right now about the United States in general. We've become a cynical group. And there's actually research that just came out this month. I want to show you. These two researchers, they do linguistic research. They talk about language. And they did something called a geolinguistic survey on Twitter. Now, if you don't know what Twitter, yeah, I know Twitter, the intellectual spot of the universe. If some of you are on Facebook And Facebook, you can post things of what you're doing. You know, you have family pictures and, hey, went out for coffee today with friends, blah, blah, blah. Some people put way too much on Facebook. Some people put too much negative stuff on Facebook. Twitter is similar in that Twitter is little tweets, little sentences you just put out there so people can keep up with what's going on with you. Hey, I just did this. Hey, I just did that. Hey, I ran into so-and-so, and they were really lousy to me. And that's what Twitter is all about. So these researchers collected over 3 million tweets from country to country, and then they compared them between the United States and Canada. And what they did was they made a word bubble. So in there, they took out like common words like in, the, stuff like that, and they got these words that were seen more often. And they put them into sort of a circle, and the bigger the word, the more often you saw it. Now I'm gonna put it up on the screen here. Victoria, will you bring that up for me? I don't know if you can see that real well or not. The one from Canada is in green. The one from the United States is in red. Notice the red one, a lot of the words are blurred out because I couldn't show them here in church. And they were some of the biggest words inside the bubbles. So these 3 million tweets, if you condense them down to a certain group of words, the ones in red are the ones in the United States, and most of them are curse words or negative, lazy, you know, words like that. The ones in Canada, you can see they're like positive, affirming words. So that's the difference between conversations going on Canada and conversations going on in the United States. A little bit embarrassing in some ways, isn't it? Okay, Victoria, go to the next slide so we don't have to stare at all those blurred out words as if people are trying to guess what they are. You go to the researcher's site, you can see what people are posting. It's horrible. It really is. But let me tell you, have you ever been around somebody like that? Sometimes we just excuse it away. But think about it. Often we run into people that are focused on the negative no matter what. You want to be very careful of that. That's a red flag when you meet somebody like that. And think about your own conversation. Does it have a negative slant all the time? It shouldn't. We need to be able to focus on the positive. Now, I'm not saying that you're happy all the time. Hey, my house burnt down. Woohoo! You know, it's not like that. There are down times, but overall, there should be positive times in our speech. So we want to watch for that, especially in this modern wired world where we can post things on Facebook where everybody can see them, where we can tweet them. Everyone knows what's going on. I see Jan's got her phone in her hand right now. What are you doing?
I'm tweeting about you. I tweeted. Robert is talking about Twitter.
Wow, okay, I'm famous in a not so great way, but thank you. Yeah. Did you know? We have free Wi-Fi here. And Troy was checking the Wi-Fi last week. During the service, 11 people were on the internet during the service. We're in a Mennonite church, and 11 people are on the internet. Apparently, Flappy Bird is more popular than I am. That's right, it was Keith last week. Oh, it's not me. That's right.
I was speaking.
Apparently, I didn't notice I was playing Flappy Bird. So, you know, yeah. If it makes you feel better, Keith, I have a new high score. So I'm just saying, yeah. But, I knew this service was going to go downhill. I didn't realize it was going to be that fast. But that is the world we live in, where we can make these quick tweets or these Facebook posts, and they become jabs back and forth, and suddenly you look at somebody, and honestly, you're only seeing a small portion of their life, but it can look very negative. We don't realize what happens when we put stuff like that out there on internet and other social media. So we want to be especially careful with relationships these days because of the way they propagate in the community around us. So number one in toxic relationships, if you're looking for red flags for a relationship that might be a bad one, watch out for negativity. Somebody that's negative all the time. Because honestly, if they're being negative about other things, they will eventually be negative about you as well. I've seen it happen time and time again. Number two, watch out for selfish people. It said here in our verse, love does not demand its own way. A good relationship has give and take in it. It's not selfish. It's not about one person. Have you been in those relationships where it's always about the other person? You know, we want to be able to lean on one another, but that leaning can't always go to one side because it's just going to fall over. You know, if it's a ship on the waves, it bounces sort of back and forth on the waves. If it keeps going one way, it eventually capsizes. Okay, same thing in a relationship. If one person is doing all the taking, then that is an unhealthy, toxic relationship. And eventually, it will drain you completely. So watch out for people like that. People that are even doing it in the positive way, you know, say to you, say, hey, well, enough about me. What do you think about me? You know, it's always about them. Be careful of that. Make sure when they're in this relationship, it is about the two of you, that there's some give and take there. There are seasons. Okay, there are going to be times where you're going through some bad stuff and they really need to support you, but it has to go the other way as well. Watch out for selfishness. It also says in there, it keeps no record of being wronged. Another red flag to toxic relationships is manipulation. Have you known a manipulative person before? A manipulative person, their goal is to get you to act the way they want you to act. And they'll do it in a number of different ways. And sometimes it's by recording wrongs. Well, I remember when you did this. I remember when you did that. And you did this to me. And they're bringing that stuff up to you again because they're trying to manipulate who you are. Now, certainly, we've all made mistakes, and we've got to own up to those, and we've got to get past them. But a manipulative person goes further than that, and they keep that list going because they're going to use that against you. You know, you did this, so here's what I need from you. Watch out for people like that. A couple of things will come from that. Here's some symptoms. Blaming the other partner for their own emotions. Right? They're angry, but they're going to blame you for it. Well, you said this about me, so I had to do something about that. You know, there's never an excuse for somebody hitting you. And that's often what I've heard when I've worked in situations where there's been abuse. And the one partner will say, well, she did this to me. And I'm like, that gives you no excuse to raise a hand to her. But that's what a manipulative person does. They'll blame your actions for what they do. Same thing with things like alcoholics. I've had alcoholics say to me, well, my wife is driving me crazy. And I'm like, yeah, but she didn't hold the bottle to your lips. You did that. A manipulative person will blame you for their actions. Watch out for that. They'll also do relational threats or hold your relationship hostage. Well, unless you do this, I'm leaving. Well, if you don't do that, I'm out of here. Or there isn't going to be any relationship. They will hold the relationship hostage and try and force you to do things to get things the way they want them to be. Be very careful of that. They're also often passive-aggressive. This is a challenge. Instead of coming to you and saying, you know, you hurt me with those words, you know, or I didn't like the fact that you called me stupid, they'll just start to use other words towards you. Or they'll just start giving you the silent treatment or slamming things down or breaking things of yours. I knew one woman that did that for a while. The husband was mistreating her, so she'd go around and break his stuff. It was a passive aggressive. They would never talk to each other directly. They did it through actions. Be very careful. That's a manipulative person, and you want to avoid that. And then, like I said, they'll keep a relationship scorecard. You did this, you did this, you did this. Watch out for manipulative people. You want honesty in your relationships. The third one is unsupportive people. It says in Corinthians, it said, love never gives up, never loses faith. It always hopes, and it always endures through every circumstances. Some people are not supportive like that. Solomon said this, a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in times of adversity. In other words, what he was saying was, friendship means you're always there for one another. You're supporting each other. Like we said earlier, you're going to go through hard times. I get that. There are hard times. But that's when you need a friend the most, isn't it? You can always have friends during the good times, like when you put in a new swimming pool. You have lots of friends then, right? But when you need help moving, do you have as many friends? That's a real friend, one that's supportive. And if you're going to move into a relationship, make sure you find one that is supportive and loyal to you. Now, I got to be very careful with this one. Finding out if somebody's loyal or not takes time. I have too many friends that are rushing into relationships that say, oh, I love him because he takes care of me and he's loyal to me. And I'm like, okay, you've only known him for a week and a half. Well, yeah, I was sick last week, and he brought me some soup, and it was awesome. You know what? Anyone does that in the beginning, right? Because you have that puppy love, and it's amazing. It's that honeymoon experience. The question is, how are they going to be 6 months down the road or a year down the road when you're starting to find things about each other that you don't quite like as much? They're not as perfect anymore, but are they still loyal to you? So when you're looking for a relationship or you have friends, this takes time. Be patient on how fast you move forward in a relationship. Loyalty only happens over time. And you need to take the time to see that. Now, some people have asked me, like especially since I worked with teenagers, you know, a lot of them were in high school, and they would come to me during their freshman year in high school. And they would say, I found the perfect guy or the perfect girl, and we're getting married right after high school. And I'm like, you're in ninth grade, you're crazy. Okay, you know, and they give me the big boo-boo face. And I'm like, no, okay, wait a minute. I said, this is going to be a great experiment because you're going to be in high school for the next 4 years and you can't get married until after that. So let's do see how things are in 4 years. And if you're really that much in love, then yes, I will marry you. Now, I tell people, don't get married right out of high school. It's not a good idea. You really need to work on a career, figure out more about who you are, and you know, before you figure out who you want to be with. So it was a big risk for me to say that. But you know what? It was never a big risk for me to say that. Because not one of them came back in 12th grade and said, hey, we're still doing great. Will you marry us? Because over time, they found out things weren't exactly what they thought they were. And as they got older, they changed a little bit too. And who they were became different. So just be careful. When I talk about looking for somebody who's supportive of you, you can't learn that quickly. It takes time. So make sure you learn about somebody through the seasons. Proverbs 27 says, wounds from a friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. In other words, a true friend that is stuck with you, even though they're not perfect, you know they're still supportive. They still take care of you. Whereas an enemy or somebody you've met quickly, man, it seems like you're getting great things from them, but not so much over a long period of time. Then one last red flag you should watch out for in a toxic relationship is unhealthy needs. Does the person have any unhealthy needs? And here's what I mean by that. Some people it might be an addiction. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's drug abuse. Maybe it's relational unhealthy needs. Maybe they have an unhealthy need for even somebody in their family. Maybe they have an unhealthy need for their mom. Have you ever met somebody like that that has not blossomed enough on their own? Now, everyone should honor their mom. Don't get me wrong. Okay? And I have to call my mom and apologize after this message. But here's the deal. At some point as an adult, you also have to be able to become your own person. And I've seen people that were adults that were so reliant on their parents, they were never able to become adults themselves and make appropriate decisions. Maybe that unhealthy need will be you. And I've seen this one too. Sometimes you get in a relationship and somebody, all they want is you. And they love you, and they want to be with you all the time. Can I come to work with you, you know? And it seems great at first, doesn't it? Because you're like, wow, they really love me, and it really makes you feel good. You get sort of an ego about it. But then, after a while, it becomes smothering. And you're starting to realize that the only real reason they're happy is because they are with you. And while that feels good at first, it's destructive later on. Because it will smother you, and they will never move forward or advance as a person themselves. So in other words, they have to have something in order to be complete. Whereas the Bible says a person is complete in knowing God. It doesn't matter if they're single, or they're married, or what their situation is. They are complete because they know God. And if you're looking for somebody, you want to find somebody that's complete. Because what they will do is challenge you to go further in your own life rather than dragging you down into trying to make them a complete person. Make sure you find somebody that's confident in who they are. Don't fall for that, oh, they love me so much they can't live without me. That's not necessarily a good thing. So be careful of that. And maybe as we're giving some of these negatives, are you checking your own life? Because some of us are at fault for this. And a number of these I could say through my life, I was really lousy at. I was a very messed up person, and I still have to work on things. So be careful that you're doing your own self-check during this as well. Okay, so those are the red flags. Let me get to the final part here. How do we work our ways through these toxic relationships? Because maybe you're in one, and you don't know what to do about it. First, call out the problem without condemning the person. In other words, if you're in a toxic relationship now, whether it's a friendship or a marriage or whatever, you need to call it out. If there are issues going on, they have to be addressed. Don't sweep them under the carpet. Now, you can do this without judging the person. You know, you don't have to go to them and say, you're lousy, okay? Go to them and say, hey, we need to work on this because I'm concerned. Okay. So you go to them and you help without judging. You don't have to judge them in the midst of this. You don't have to tear them apart, but you do have to address it. And let me say this, don't make excuses for it either. Well, he was just in a bad mood. That's why he hit me. Well, he's just worried about our money situation, and that's why he doesn't give me any money for groceries. Well, she was just having a bad day, and that's why she slapped me. You know, I'm sorry to bring up those kinds of issues, but they're the ones I hear a lot when I talk to people about relationships. You don't have to make excuses for them. They need to own up to what they did. Now, once again, you don't have to judge them for it, but you do have to call it out when it happens. If you see something that's wrong in a relationship, you need to address it. Okay? Now, you need to do it carefully. Let's say you've been in a marriage for 25 years, and something has been going on in that marriage for 25 years. You just don't wake up one day and go, okay, you need to fix this today, and flip a switch. It doesn't work that way. So be careful as you move into something like this. If you're trying to repair a long-term relationship, you have to go about it properly. But let me give you some other ideas to help you through that. So call out the problem. Secondly, take control and accept responsibility. I know some people that just give up and they're like, well, there's nothing I can do about it. Well, there's just nothing I can do. That's wrong. There is always something you can do. And part of it is calling that other person out. You have to take responsibility. Thirdly, you have to realign boundaries. If you don't have the proper boundaries in a relationship, you need to start laying those boundaries out. And I know that's hard when they've already been crossed, but you might have to set boundaries. If you have one of those people that's very draining, you've got a friend that all they ever want to do is complain, and they've got to call you to tell you how lousy their day was, and they do it day after day after day, you might have to set some boundaries. You know what? I can't talk to you today. You know, I do that as a pastor sometimes. I'll admit this to you. There are times where I don't answer my phone. Now, if there's an emergency I know about and there's something I got to take care of, I'll do it. But if I've got somebody that's been chronically calling me constantly, and they're calling day and night, late into the night, like 11 or 12 at night, there comes a time where I'll put on the brakes. And it's the lovely thing about caller ID. I'm sorry, but I look and I'm like, you know what? No. There has to be a boundary here. And I'll talk to the person about that, and I'll say it. I'll just say, hey, honestly, look, you know, I didn't answer. Because we've got to put some guidelines into place of how this relationship is going to work. So make sure you do the same, whether it's a spouse or a friend or whatever. There's got to be some guidelines. Don't be afraid to make boundaries. They are healthy. They are healthy. And they make for a good long-term relationship and keep you from burning out. Number four, this is a tough one. You might have to discontinue a relationship. If you're in a toxic relationship, you might have to end it. There are times where people will not rise to the occasion, where they will not work on things and will continue to drag you down, and you might have to say, you know what? This has to stop, and I've got to put some separation in here. Now, I know the Bible is all about grace and forgiveness, and it is, and we always forgive, but there might come a time where you have to forgive at a distance. Now, let's be careful with this, okay? So in other words, God wants you to always be forgiving, but that doesn't mean you have to continue to put up with the circumstance. And I mean this even in marriage. And I'm sorry to say that because I know the Bible takes a very strong stance on divorce, and so do I. I follow what Jesus says. But if you're in a relationship where you are being abused, you're being physically or emotionally abused, there may come a time where separation has to happen. Hopefully with the idea of reconciliation, and it may or may not happen, but you cannot allow yourself to continue to be beaten, there comes a time where that relationship has to end, or at least has to take a time out. And you might have to do that with a friend as well. You might just have to put some distance between yourself and them until they can get things worked out. Otherwise, you're going to go down with them. That's something that I've recently been reading up on the Titanic, just because I love history. And one of the things a lot of historians discussed was the vortex effect. A lot of people on the Titanic, as it was sinking, stayed on the ship to the very end, rather than trying to get out and swim. Now, they didn't have much choice because they were in freezing water. And in general, you would only last a few minutes in that water if you didn't have some form of protection. So these people were staying on the ship till the very end, till it went down. But the problem was they stayed so close to the ship, when it went down, the ship itself created a vortex, and it was a suction, and it pulled people down with them. Now, eventually that suction would release, but you didn't know how long it would take or how far down in the water you would go. So the ship literally pulled you down with it. Sometimes, it's sad to say, but it is a reality, a friendship or a relationship will do that as well. It will suck you down with it. You can't allow that to happen. So there are times where you have to draw boundaries, and there are times where you have to say, you know what, this has to stop, at least for a time, until we can get things worked out. Now, number five goes along with that. If you're to that point, one of the things you might want to consider is getting help in a relationship. Matthew chapter 18 lays out relationships very well. It says, look, if you have a problem with somebody, go to them. If you can't get it worked out with them, take somebody else with you. In other words, it's saying sometimes in a relationship, you need somebody to help work you through it, especially in a marriage. Because in a marriage, often things build up, and we build walls between ourselves, and we have a hard time communicating. Because we've been keeping lists of what he did wrong, of what she did wrong. So now every time we try to talk, instead of being able to talk at a calm level here, we're already up here, right? Because you have that history. By bringing in another person, that can help you to work through things. And that person might be just helping you individually, or they might be sitting with the two of you to work through it. But either way, find help. It can be professional help. It might just be another friend. You might grab a friend and say, you know, so-and-so's been talking about me at the office. They won't stop doing it. Do you think we go out to lunch together? Maybe you could help them to understand that I won't want them tweeting about me all the time and what I'm doing at the office, you know? Take a friend. For some of you, it may require professional help. You guys know I've talked about my role with that. I do work with a lot of couples. And we'll work for up to a point, but I'm not really a professional counselor. So usually, if we haven't gotten things worked out in a few sessions, I'll say, you know what? I think it's time that we really go to somebody professional to help you out. And that's okay. Some of us are afraid to go to get professional counseling, like it's a bang to the ego. I want you to know I've received professional counseling. We all need it at some point. Don't be afraid of it. It's okay. And it's okay to admit when you need help. We all need help at some point. Be willing to go out and get that help. It's all about that relationship. And lastly, let me go over them again. Call out the problem, take control and responsibility, realign some boundaries, discontinue the relationship if you need to, get help, and lastly, find healing in other friendships, especially in God. It's important that you have friendships around that build you up. As a pastor, that's very important to me. I have certain friendships and relationships that drain me, and I have other ones that build me up, where I can sit down with some friends and get out a deck of cards, and we just have a good time. Motley Church is kind of like that for me some nights, because we'll sit down and we just have a good time talking and enjoying. Now, we go through hard times, too. I mean, some of us have real prayer requests in Motley Church, that, you know, some real hard stuff. But at the same time, I come out feeling really good because we were able to joke around, have a little fun, and it feels good. It builds me up. You need the same thing. It's okay to have some relationships where you're trying to help somebody, but make sure you have some relationships that are building you up, especially God. If you don't have God in your life, you need to get him, because he's the one relationship that will never fail you and that will always build you up. When I've had my worst day, when I've hit a deer, when I've had other issues, you know I can always go to God, and he's there and he lifts me up. Make sure you have him first and foremost, because he's the one relationship that will never fail you and that can restore your faith in relationships again. And you need to have that. Let me say, if you have been through toxic relationships, you might be at a point where you don't want to open up anymore. And I get that. If somebody's betrayed you or destroyed your confidence or your trust, it's hard to get it back. But let me tell you, you can. And find a relationship that will. Find somebody that will help you to build trust again. Because if you never trust again, you'll never love again. You need to get past that. It always comes with risks. Anytime you trust somebody, there's a chance they may fail you. You know what? That's part of life. It's okay. Be careful. Have the proper boundaries so you're not destroyed. But always be willing to trust again. Don't let past relationships destroy future relationships. Make sure you're ready to try again, and make sure you yourself have found a better place and that you're ready for a relationship so that you might know that true love again. Let me just pray for you. Heavenly Father, We all go through relationships, Lord, and sometimes it's like a roller coaster. Father, I have good relationships, I have bad ones. I've had people really mess with me, Lord, and if I were honest with myself, Father, there are times where I've failed others too. It's hard. But would you be with us in all our relationships? Would you be the most important one, Father, so that no matter what anyone else does, we have the consistency of knowing you, and we still have that faith. And Lord, would you help us to work in our relationships with one another as we are a church body? We're all so different, but to see the love in this room is somewhat amazing. So be with us as we work things out. Help us to be better. Help us to be true lovers, Lord. Love like it's mentioned in Corinthians, that we might have a group of people where we can go and find trust and love and caring like no other. We ask it in the name of Christ.